and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward. This week we have two more lively episodes of the Burns and Allen Show. This time, a couple of our favorite actors from other radio shows are featured as celebrity guests. First, we have Burns and Allen with Howard Duff, who starred as Detective Sam Spade in The Adventures of Sam Spade. In the second episode, we find out how Jack Benny became so cheap. The writing on this episode with Howard Duff is delightful, and I know it will keep you in stitches. Enjoy the Burns and Allen Show, first broadcast February 10th, 1949 on NBC.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
That drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With our special guest, Howard Duff, who is the famous detective Sam Spade. Yours truly, Toby Reed, Joseph Kearns, Eric Snowden, Harry Lubin, the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Many people say that Gracie is responsible for George being where he is today, and that's certainly true. Gracie is also responsible for Sam Spade being where he is today. You see, George and Sam Spade are both in jail. How did it happen? Well, let's listen as George is being questioned by a police lieutenant.
All right, let's start at the top. Name?
George Burns.
Occupation?
I'm married to Gracie Allen.
No. What do you do? What keeps you busy?
I'm married to Gracie Allen.
Let me put it this way. What's your source of income?
I'm married to Gracie Allen.
All right, skip it. What's your age?
Approximately 42.
How come you look older?
I'm married to Gracie Allen.
What's your address?
360 North Camden.
All right, Burns, now suppose you tell me why you're in this jam.
I'm married to Gracie Allen.
You're in a rut. Hey, Spade, how come you're in this jam?
He's married to Gracie Allen.
You know, Burns, you and this Spade character are accused of murder. Now suppose you tell me the whole story right from the start.
Okay, Lieutenant. It all started last Sunday night. I was sitting home listening to the radio with my wife. I'm married to Gracie Allen.
Yes, that part I know. Take it from there.
Well, Gracie and I were listening to The Adventures of Sam Spade. The program was just finishing.
All right, Jenkins.
Let's take a little ride down to headquarters.
Me, sir? But I wouldn't murder Mr. Benson. I've been his butler for 20 years.
Don't play innocent. I know you pulled this caper, and I've got enough evidence to put you right in the hot seat.
But, Mr. Spade, I didn't do it.
Say that malarkey for the warden. You were clever, Jenkins, but not clever enough. I think I'll call this the Careless Butler Caper.
Why did you turn off the radio, Gracie?
Sam Spade got the wrong man tonight.
What?
I'm positive that Jenkins the butler wasn't guilty. An innocent man is going to get the hot plate.
Hot seat. And don't worry. He'll only get it on the radio.
Well, who cares where they put it? When he sits down, it'll burn. I've got to talk to Sam Spade right away.
Honey, Sam Spade is not a real detective.
I'll say he isn't. Any man who'd make an innocent butler sit on the hot plate should...
Gracie, he'll get a hot seat.
Oh, he sure will after he sits on that hot plate.
Look, here's what I mean. On his program, Sam Spade is a private detective. But in real life, he's just an ordinary guy. Just like on your program, you're a nitwit. But in real life... That won't work. Anyway, Gracie, what you just heard was only a radio program.
I know that. The real crime happened last week. Every Sunday night, Sam Spade broadcasts his most thrilling case of the week.
You still don't understand. Sam Spade is just a character.
I'll say he's a character. Making that poor innocent butler sit in a hot place.
Hot seat. Let me try to explain this once more. Sam Spade isn't even the fella's real name. He's the brainchild of Dashiell Hammett.
Oh, you mean his real name is Sam Hammett.
No, his real name is Howard Duff.
Then why isn't his father's name Dashiell Duff?
Look, Sam Spade doesn't have any actual father or mother. He came from Dashiell Hammett's typewriter.
Oh, George, you're so innocent. You know, I'll bet you believe that old story about coming from under cabbage leaves, too.
What's the use? Okay, Sam Spade is a naughty detective, and he's sending an innocent butler to the hot plate.
Hot seat.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
Well, Lieutenant, I didn't think any more about it. I was tired. It was past my bedtime.
What time was it?
It was after 9.
Gee.
So I went to bed thinking Gracie would follow me. Instead, she followed Sam Spade.
Oh, what do you mean?
Let me tell you about that part of it, Lieutenant.
Okay, Spade.
Well, I'd finished my regular Sunday night show at the broadcasting studio, after which the actors lingered on for a little bull session, you know, who stepped on whose lines, I want a bigger part next week, and so forth. So, it's about 10 when I step out into the California night air, which is also about 10. But, there's no snow, so I decide to walk home. I haven't taken two steps when this little lady grabs me by the sleeve and says...
Are you Sam Spade?
Well, if I had known then what I know now, I would have thrown myself under the wheels of a passing sunset bus. But I'm a ham, and I figure she's maybe a fan, so I answer in my best Pasadena Playhouse voice. Why, yes, I'm Sam Spade.
The butler didn't do it.
Huh?
You've got the wrong man. The butler didn't jerk that kipper.
Jerk that kipper?
Yank that copper?
You mean pull that caper?
That's it, yes. You sent an innocent man to jail.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Lady, I think you're a little mixed up about me. I'm just an actor on CBS.
That's what everybody says.
Look, little lady, I'm tired. It's been a tough day. I'll see you around, huh?
No, just a minute, Sam Spade. I heard you arrest that butler. Now, you've got to let him go free.
You wouldn't give me a rib, would you?
Anything to free that butler. Which rib do you want?
I'll tell you what. Why don't you write me a letter? With a dull pencil. Don't use anything sharp.
Uh-huh. I'll do better than that. I'll come to your office. Where is it?
I haven't got an office.
Oh, playing cagey, huh? All right. I'll come to your house. Where's that?
321... Oh, no. I'm not talking. I want to get some sleep tonight. So long.
So long.
Why are you following me? What do you want?
Got a cigarette?
Sure. Here you are.
Thanks. Got a match?
Sure. Want me to light it for you?
No, thanks. I don't smoke.
Then why did you ask me for a cigarette?
Well, I thought I'd better have it in case somebody asked me for one.
I see.
Would you like a cigarette?
No, thanks.
Well, good night.
Good night. Okay, okay. Now what?
Got the time?
Yeah, it's exactly 10:10.
Thanks.
No, I meant it's 10 minutes after 10.
You're wrong. My watch says 15 after 10.
You've got a watch?
Sure.
Then why did you ask me the time?
Want a cigarette?
No.
Well, good night.
Good night. Look, lady, stop following me.
Oh, it's you again.
Yeah, fancy meeting me here. Can I give you the slip?
Please. I couldn't accept a thing like that from a strange man.
All right, what do you want this time?
Got a road map?
A road map. Are you lost?
No.
May I make a suggestion?
What?
Get lost.
Well, good night.
Good night. Well, I've had enough of this, little lady. You've seen the end of me.
Yeah, for 2 blocks.
This time I'll lose you. Hey, taxi, taxi. Let's get out of here, cabby, but fast. Here's my house. out, cabbie. Pull up. That was real driving, buddy. Keep the change. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, no. Oh, no! How did you get here?
On the back of that cab.
Who are you, anyway?
Oh, no, no. I'm too smart to tell you who I am. If I did, you'd complain to my husband, George Burns.
Oh, so you're Gracie Allen.
How did you find out?
You forget I'm a detective.
Oh.
And now I know what the National Safety Council means when they say don't be a Gracie.
Oh, never mind that. Are you going to let the butler go?
Look, Gracie, there's really no butler in prison, and I'm not really Sam Spade.
Oh, now don't give me that story about your mother being a typewriter.
What?
You're not talking to a child. I'm older than I look.
Okay, Gracie, I see there's no use arguing with a smart girl like you. I'll see that the butler gets out. I'll get him the best mouthpiece in town.
Get him out first. Fix his teeth later.
Okay, okay. Good night. Well, Lieutenant, I thought that that would be the end of the episode.
But it wasn't, huh?
Brother, you haven't heard anything yet. The next morning...
Wait a minute, Mr. Burns. Before I listen any more of this story, I'll have to send out for some aspirin.
Here, have some of mine.
Hey, how come you walk around with your pockets full of aspirin?
I'm married to Gracie Allen.
Yes, it's Strike Up the Band, the glorious music of George Gershwin. You know, you just can't mistake those melodies, those typical harmonies, the wonderful Gershwin rhythms. And it's all these things, all the separate musical elements skillfully combined, that make the music of George Gershwin so immortal. Listen a moment to one of his most famous compositions. It was heard for the first time just 25 years ago tonight. But see if you can recognize it when we play just the mellow harmony. With that, we'll blend this counter melody for richness. And now to add that vigorous Gershwin rhythm. Finally, we'll round out this great score as Gershwin intended you to hear and enjoy it by adding his full-bodied melody. Yes, the famous Rhapsody in Blue, even more popular today than when it was first played 25 years ago tonight. Like all great composers, George Gershwin knew well that great music requires not one, but many fine musical parts, all skillfully blended into one harmonious score. And friends, it takes the same skill in blending to bring you great coffee, famous Maxwell House coffee. It's flavor, rich, satisfying, good to the last drop flavor that's made Maxwell House America's favorite brand of coffee. And to create the superb flavor, our Maxwell House experts combine not one, but many choice coffees from the fertile highlands of Latin America. First, they select premium grades of Monazelli's coffees for mellowness. To these coffees, fine Medellins are added for richness. But famous Maxwell House flavor must be more than mellow and rich, so other choice coffees are added for vigor. And then Bucaramanga's coffees contribute their fine, full body. This perfectly balanced Maxwell House blend is then radiant roasted to flavor perfection and brought to you vacuum-packed and roaster-fresh.
And because you folks on the West Coast really know and enjoy coffee at its best, Maxwell House is blended and roasted for you right here on the West Coast to satisfy your critical taste.
So tomorrow, discover all the extra flavor that's yours in every cup of America's favorite brand of coffee. Famous Maxwell House, always good to the last drop. And now, back to the city jail, where George and Sam Spade are trying to explain how Gracie put them there.
Let's see if I've got this straight so far, Burns. Your wife listened to Sam Spade's program, thought he was really sending an innocent butler to the chair, and started hounding him.
That's right, Lieutenant.
What did you think, Spade?
I didn't know what to think, Lieutenant. The surveys tell me I have 10 million odd listeners, but I didn't think any of them were that odd.
Well, anyway, to get rid of her, you told her that you'd free the butler.
Yeah, but that didn't satisfy Gracie. She demanded to see the guy.
That's when Spade came to me for help. He asked me to make Gracie leave him alone.
Now, what'd you say?
I told him to ask me something easy. Like getting Westbrook Pegler to dance with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Mr. Burns, why do you put up with a wife like that?
I'm too old to go back to Gus Edwards. Besides which, I happen to love her.
So what did you two decide to do?
Well, there was only one thing we could do. That was dig up the actor who played the butler in my program and let Gracie see him.
Which we did.
Yeah, and that's when we really got into trouble.
Well, tell me just what happened.
Okay. Spade was giving the guy his final instructions.
Now, remember, Claude, you're Jenkins the butler, and I have set you free.
Don't worry, I'll have Mrs. Burns crying like a baby. Mm. In radio, they don't call me the male Ma Perkins for nothing.
Well, come on, Gracie's in the next room. Honey, here's Sam Spade.
Yes, Mrs. Burns, and I've freed the butler. Here he is.
How do you do, madam?
It is the butler. I recognize that voice. Oh, I'm so happy for you, Jenkins. What will you do now that you're free?
I shall return to the home of my youth.
Where does your youth live?
I had reference to my birthplace, madam. Dear old England. I shall go back there to regain my health.
Really?
Yes, America is nice, but I'll take Liverpool.
Well, you don't have to go to England for Liverpools. They're made right here.
Oh, yes, that's Carter's little Liverpools. I take them.
Liverpool is the name of a city.
Yes, now, thank Mrs. Burns for getting out of jail and then screw. Disappear.
Madam, your beneficent intervention has terminated a most injurious and humiliating incarceration. You'll never know what that means.
Well, I won't unless you shorten the word.
Goodbye, Jenkins.
Farewell, all. I go to a new and better life.
Oh, goodbye. Write me from Kidney Creek.
Liverpool.
Well, I was in the right neighborhood. Goodbye.
Well, that takes care of that, eh, George?
You said it.
I'll be running along, too. Goodbye, Gracie.
Just a minute. Now, look. If the butler didn't murder Mr. Benson, who did?
Huh?
You proved that his wife and daughter didn't do it, and there was only one other person on the scene. So he must be the murderer.
Who?
You.
Me?
Confess, Sam Spade. You murdered Mr. Benson.
But I had no motive.
Then you did it with something else.
Look, Gracie,
Hand me my lipstick, George. I'm going to give him the third degree.
Lipstick?
Well, I want to look nice when he shines that bright light in my face.
You're supposed to shine it in his face.
Oh, well, then give him the lipstick.
I'm getting out of this madhouse. Goodbye.
Well, Lieutenant, Spade ran out of that house like he was seeing a ghost. Which was true, because from then on, Gracie started haunting him. Trying to make him confess.
Yeah, she found out that my radio sponsor was Wildwood Cream Oil, so she disguised herself with a big hat and a veil and knocked at my door.
Sam Spade?
Yes.
How do you do? My name is Wildroot.
Wildroot?
Perhaps you know my husband, Willie Cream Oil. My full name is Mrs. Wildroot Cream Oil. I'm the wife of your sponsor.
Now, look.
I understand you murdered a Mr. Benson. Now, that's strictly forbidden in your contract.
Mrs. Creamoil, you look like Gracie Allen to me.
Flattery will get you no place. Now, if you'd like to confess, perhaps we can get you off with life imprisonment. And when you come out, you can take over your program again.
Gracie, I did not murder Mr. Benson. Go away. But the next day, she was back. This time with another disguise.
Sam Spade?
Yes?
I'm from Western Union. I have a telegram here from President Truman.
What?
I'll read it to you. Dear Sam, confess. Signed, Harry. Any answer?
Scram. Beat it. Go away.
That's no way to talk to the president.
Out! Out! But the third day topped everything. She posed as a private detective.
Sam Spade?
Yes?
I'm Sally Shovel. Now, listen, chum. We're in the same racket, pal, and I want to help you, buddy. So why don't you confess, Max?
You're a private eye?
Also ear, nose, and throat. I put everything into my work. Now, confess, Doc. So you murdered Benson, so what? I've been mixed up with a few keepers. Or is it capers?
In your case, it's keepers. Now go away!
Well, Lieutenant, that's when Spade came to see me again. Looking much older.
Yeah, we hit on a brilliant scheme. We decided that I should confess the murder, then George would pretend to take me to the city hall to surrender, and Gracie would forget the whole thing.
But Gracie did something we didn't count on.
What was that?
While I was going to pick up Spade, she called the police.
Oh, yes, that's where I come into the picture. She called me.
I suppose you tell us what happened then.
Well, when I got to the house, she said...
There's a desperate criminal on his way here to confess a murder. As soon as he confesses, you can grab him.
Don't worry, lady, I'll...
Oh, that must be him.
Yeah, you wait in the next room. He may be armed.
Oh, he is. There's one hanging from each shoulder. You call me if you need.
Oh, hello. Where is everybody?
Never mind. What's your name?
Bill Goodwin.
What did you do with the body?
I took her home.
What did you do then?
I dumped her out.
Oh, she was dead, huh?
Well, sure, that's why I took her home.
You've done a pretty terrible thing, young man.
Ah, tomorrow I'll send her some flowers.
Oh, you're a real killer.
Oh, sure.
Now tell me everything you did tonight.
I will not. Who are you, her father?
No!
Well, in that case, I'll tell you this. Another fellow and I double dated. We met the girls, and the four of us went into a restaurant for dinner. I ordered 4 cups of Maxwell House coffee.
Then what?
Well, I told the waiter to bring the other people some, too. See, I wanted them to taste the rich, mellow goodness of Maxwell House. It's America's favorite coffee, you know.
Yes, I know. What happened then?
Well, that's when the girl and I got into a fight.
Aha! What about?
She caught me drinking her Maxwell House coffee.
Hey, but you'd had 4 cups.
Well, when you taste that good to the last drop flavor, you just don't know when to stop. You know, Maxwell House is a blend of the finest Latin American coffees, radiant roasted to the peak of flavor perfection.
Well, officer, did he confess to Bill Goodwin?
He confessed everything, Mrs. Burns. He got mixed up with a girl, and now he's headed for the chair.
You're nuts. When I get mixed up with a girl, I head for the divan.
I mean the electric chair. You killed a girl.
Are you kidding? All I killed was 5 cups of Maxwell House coffee.
Yes, officer, this is the wrong man. Sam Spade is the one you want to arrest.
Sam Spade is in trouble? Oh, gee, I was going to hire him to find someone for me.
Who?
Girl about 5'2", red hair, green eyes, terrific figure, drives a Cadillac convertible.
Oh, when did you last see her?
Who's seen her? I want Spade to find me one like that. Not so long.
Well, there won't be any mistake this time, officer. Here comes my husband up the walk with the real murderer.
Yeah, anyone can tell that guy's a criminal. Look at that low forehead.
That's my husband.
Oh. Well, this time I want to hear the confession before I make the pinch. I'll just duck into this closet.
Oh, poor Mr. Spade. I hate to think of him sitting in the electric chair. With those long legs, he'd be so uncomfortable.
Well, here he is, Gracie. Ready to confess.
Yes, I can hide the truth no longer. I killed Benson.
Why did you do it, Mr. Spade?
That man murdered my mother, ruined my father, tortured my sister, and robbed my brother.
Oh, then it was nothing personal.
No, I just didn't like him.
Oh, how did it happen?
Benson was standing in a bar, see? I walked up to him, let him have 2 slugs, and he fell to the floor.
Oh, couldn't hold his liquor, huh?
You let him have 2 slugs from a pistol. Now keep quiet and let the man confess.
Yes, dear.
I never gave him a chance, see? I shot him down in cold blood. As he lay on the floor, I pulled the trigger again and again and again. When the gun was empty, I stood over his body and laughed like the fiend that I am. I should be locked up for 20 years, 30 years.
I'll make that 40.
Huh? Who are you?
I'm Regan from Homicide.
I called him over to hear your confession.
Okay, come on, Spade.
Officer, wait a minute. Let me explain. Mr. Spade and I cooked this whole thing up together.
Oh, an accomplice. I'll take you along, too.
Wait a minute. I've never done anything wrong in my life.
Well, of course not. He's my husband, the man who married me.
All right, so I did one thing wrong.
Come on, you two.
Well, Lieutenant, that's the whole story.
My apologies, fellas. You're both free to go.
Thanks. Come on, Sam. Let's get out of here.
You said it.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Burns, your wife's waiting outside.
Gracie? So long, George. I'm staying in jail.
So long.
Oh, hello, darling.
Hello, Gracie. Let's go home.
Oh, I can't, sweetheart. I've got something important to do.
Hey, you've got that big hat and that veil on again. Where are you going?
Well, while you were in jail, I heard Ellery Queen on the radio, and he arrested the wrong man.
Oh, no, you're not going to start it.
Join us again next Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Harry Lubin and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. And now, here are our stars.
Well, Gracie, next week we're going to have two guest stars. Mr. and Mrs. James Mason.
James Mason? He's that wonderful English actor who's so mean and so rough with women.
That's the man.
Gee, he might hit me. Oh, but with you here, he wouldn't dare.
You said it.
You'd show him. If he hit me, you'd hit Mrs. Mason.
That's what I know. Ladies and gentlemen, let's all remember to help the National Safety Council in their campaign to cut down the terrible toll of home accidents. Be safe. Be careful. Don't be a Gracie.
Good things
the easy way.
Do you like good things the easy way? Then get instant Maxwell House coffees.
So good.
So good. True coffee flavor and fragrance, because instant Maxwell House is not a so-called coffee product. It's all pure Maxwell House coffee in instant form.
And so easy.
So easy. Instant Maxwell House means great coffee instantly in your cup. No fuss, no muss, no bother. Today, try Instant Maxwell House. Instantly good to the last drop. Howard Duff will soon be seen as star of the Universal International picture, Red Canyon. Until next Thursday, when our guests will be Mr. and Mrs. James Mason. Good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. Subscribe for free through iTunes or Podbean. Next, we have a comedian we've been following for the past few weeks, as he recovered from a respiratory infection in the 1940s. Jack Benny, George Burns, Gracie Allen, and Jack's wife, Mary Livingston, were dear friends since the 1920s when they toured in the same vaudeville circuit. This episode with guest star Jack Benny will be a real treat for our listeners. Enjoy The Burns and Allen Show, How Jack Benny Got So Cheap, first broadcast March 31st, 1949 on NBC.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie. If it's free, I'll have a cup, too.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
That drop's good, too. Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. with our special guest, Jack Benny, yours truly, Toby Reed, Joseph Kearns, Harry Lubin of the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin.
For America's Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for America's everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Well, today we find the Burnses sitting in a booth in the Brown Derby restaurant. It seems their old friend, Jack Benny, has invited them to lunch, and they're waiting for him to arrive.
Gracie, I wish you hadn't told me, Jack, wish you hadn't arranged for us to have lunch with Jack. It's always so embarrassing.
What do you mean?
One of those lousy tips he leaves. He's been eating here 5 years, and he's yet to tip more than a dollar.
Well, a dollar isn't a bad tip.
That's for the 5 years. Besides, if we're his guests, he'll make us order crackers and milk. The cheapest thing on the menu.
Well, Judge, I wish you wouldn't talk that way about Jack. He's always been awfully nice to me. Did you see the birthday present he sent me?
Why, no.
Well, it's a coupon which entitles me to a year's subscription to Hopper's Bazaar.
From Jack?
Mm-hmm. And all I have to do is fill it out and send it in with $7.
Hopper's Bazaar is $6.
Well, Jack gets a dollar commission.
Jack Benny hasn't put his hand in his pocket. January will be 80 years.
What can be keeping him? Doesn't he know what time it is?
No. He's too tight to buy a watch. Tells time by the sun.
Oh, George, tells time by the sun.
I'm not kidding. Shh. Here he comes.
Oh, hello, George. Hello, Gracie.
Oh, hello, hi, Jack. Jack.
I'm sorry I'm late, kids. These cloudy days throw me.
What did I tell you?
Oh, waiter, we're ready to order.
Yes, sir. Would madame like to start with a cocktail?
Oh, no, thanks. I never drink.
I meant a shrimp cocktail.
No matter how small it is, I never drink.
Mrs. Burns will have a steak, and I'll have a broiled lobster.
Steak and broiled lobster? Well, they're both very good here, but as long as you're in the Brown Derby, you really should order the specialty of the house. You see, crackers and milk.
Oh, I've changed my mind. I won't have a steak.
Good, good.
I'll have lamb chops.
Well, the crackers are very crisp here. They put the crumbs in a sack so you can take them home.
Madame will enjoy the lamb chops. We serve them with little paper panties on.
Well, don't your legs get cold?
that's our order, waiter. How about you, Jack?
I'll have crackers and milk.
That was a delicious meal, Gracie. Where did Jack go?
Well, the waiter refused to give him any more crackers, so he went to complain to the manager.
My gosh. He talked them out of extra milk.
Yeah, wasn't that clever? He kept handing his glass of milk to the waiter and saying, put a head on this.
And mark my words. We'll get stuck with the check as usual.
Well, George, that's your own fault. When the check comes, Jack always says, here, I'll take it. But then you always speak up and say, no, Jack, I'll get it. So he lets you get it.
That's right. He knows I'll say that.
Well, sure.
Well, today when he says, here, I'll take it, I'll just keep my big mouth shut.
How do you like this place? They refuse to give me extra crackers. Just wait till they ask me to put more bluing in their tablecloth. I'll show them. You know.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Here's your check. That'll be $10.30.
Here, I'll take it. Well, somebody say something.
be $10.30.
You shut up!
Look, George, if you want the check, I won't fight you.
I don't want the check.
In that case, we'll fight.
You're the stingiest man who ever lived.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Well, don't act so proud. You're not the first one who ever said that.
Now, please, don't get into a fight. There's no point to it.
No point to it?
You're the only two men in the world who couldn't hurt each other.
Well, I'm not paying this check. After all, Jack, you invited us to lunch.
Sure, I make a nice gesture. This is a thanks, I guess.
Well, George, let's not make a scene. Go ahead and pay the check.
All right, but I just want to say this. Jack, if you let me pay this check, you're a low, miserable, tight-fisted, conniving miser. You're a disgrace to our profession, and I'll never speak to you again as long as I live. Well...
Now, Mr. Burns, if you finish, I have a few words to say.
What are they?
Here's the check.
All right, George, we're home now. Calm down and forget about Jack Benson.
I can't forget about him. How a man can go through life letting someone else pay his way, I'll never know.
Well, now, don't let it make you so nervous. My goodness, when you paid that check, you were so upset you could hardly get my purse open.
You know, Gracie, Jack didn't used to be this way. When we were in vaudeville with him, he was an altogether different fellow.
Say, now that you mention it, he was. What people used to call him Generous Jack the Plunger.
Yes, in those days, he spent money like water.
I wonder what slowed him down to such a drift.
I don't know. Maybe it was the disappointment of you marrying me instead of him. He was pretty sweet on you in those days.
Well, I liked him too. You know, Jack was awfully good looking.
Yeah.
Of course, that was a long time ago.
Now he has to use makeup. Tell me something, Gracie. Jack Benny was a big star, young, good-looking, talented, loaded with money and a big spender. I was just a struggling young song and dance man. Why did you marry me instead of Jack?
Oh, George, you don't have to ask that, do you?
Oh, I guess I don't.
Well, good, because I haven't got an answer. You know, I can't get over the change in Jack. When he was courting me, he was the most generous man in the world.
He certainly was.
Remember the night you both proposed to me?
Sure. We got into an argument, and I hit Jack over the head with his violin.
I'll never forget that night. That was 16 years ago, but it seems like yesterday. I remember Jack arrived at my house first. He brought along his violin to serenade me, and when I went to his home...
Hi, Gracie.
Why, Generous Jack.
That's me, baby. Here's a couple of dozen orchids for you.
Oh, Jack, they're so expensive.
What do I care? I always say money is made to be spent. I mean, you can't take it with you. Hey, Gracie, let's go out tonight and have a big champagne party. I've had a dozen cases of the most expensive champagne flown in from France.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I don't drink.
But, Gracie, Mum's extra dry.
Well, then let her drink it. Besides, we don't want to be gone when George Burns gets here.
George Burns?
Mm-hmm.
Will he be here tonight?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was playing Altoona.
Well, he was, but he got into an argument with the manager. He said he'd never play that theater again as long as he lived.
What'd the manager say?
That was the manager talking.
Gracie, I hope we'd be alone tonight. There's a question I plan to. I'll tell you what. Let's go for a ride in my new car.
You bought another new car? What happened to your stuffed bear cat?
Ah, they're... loving station admired it, so I gave it.
Jack, what kind of a car did you buy this time?
A Maxwell. But I probably won't keep it long either.
Well, Jack, I can't be gone when George gets here. He's in love with me.
Yeah, so am I, Gracie. Will you marry me?
Oh, Jack, get up off your knees. You'll ruin your new suit.
So what? I'll throw it away. It's old anyway. I've had it since yesterday. Well, Gracie, look, I'm...
Oh, that must be George. Come in.
Hello, Gracie. I just... Jack Benny, what are you doing down on your knees? I'm proposing to Gracie. But, Gracie, I want you to marry me. You? How could you support her? Who's planning to? Look, Gracie, don't marry this broken-down vaudeville hoofer.
Well, I think George is a very good dancer. You ought to see him do that adagio dance with his girl partner. It isn't easy to throw a person 10 feet in the air and then catch them.
You said it.
But that girl hasn't dropped George once.
But, Gracie, what future has George got dancing in vaudeville? Vaudeville is dead. It's been killed.
Is that true, George?
Well, you don't expect him to confess, do you? Hey, look at it. I'm a violinist. I can go in that new business called radio.
Yeah? Well, listen to this. I love you, love you, love you, I do. You're the only girl that I adore.
Oh, Jack. When George sings, doesn't it just send you?
Yeah, but not far enough. Now, if you want to hear some real music, listen to this. You know, this is called The Flight of the Bumblebee. I've been told I play it very realistically.
Oh, you do, Jack. When you play it, actually sings.
You did say stings. S-T-I-N-K. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's my violin. Let's see what you can do with it.
Okay. Here's what I can do with it.
Oh.
Oh, George. You knocked him unconscious with his violin. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. He might have broken a string.
I'll teach him to try to steal my girl.
Oh.
Oh, look, he's coming too.
What happened? Where am I?
You're at my house, Jack.
Who are you?
I'm your girl, Gracie Allen. You brought me these orchids, remember?
I bought all those orchids?
Yes.
I must be nuts. They cost a fortune.
But you're generous, Jack, the plunger.
Plunger, schmunger. Money doesn't grow on trees.
But, Jack, you always say you can't take it with you.
Sister, if I can't take it with me, I'll find a way to send it. And you'll get a bill for these orchids tomorrow. Good night.
It all comes back to me now, Gracie. From that night on, Jack Benny was a tightwad.
Yeah, it was that blow in the head that did it. George, do you realize what this means? It's our fault that Jack is stingy.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, then it's up to us to change him back. Yeah, I've got it. Hit him over the head with his violin again.
Yeah, that might do it. But I can't do that again.
Why not?
Well, we were young guys then. I can't hit a man with gray hair.
We'll take it off.
Morning. And really, friends, what a beautiful, wonderful morning it is when breakfast starts with fragrant, cheering Maxwell House coffee. How about it? Have you discovered how much more enjoyment there is in every cup of Maxwell House? Do you know why more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the entire world? Well, the answer, of course, is flavor. Yes, rich, heartwarming, good-to-the-last-drop flavor that no other coffee gives you. No coffee but Maxwell House. To create it, our Maxwell House experts combine not one, but many superb varieties of Highland-grown Latin American coffees. With care and skill, they select Monazzali's coffees for mellowness. They add Medellin's for richness. Other choice coffees contribute robust vigor. And finally, they round out the blend with Bucaramanga's for fine, full body. This superb Maxwell House blend is then radiant roasted to flavor perfection and brought to you vacuum-packed in the familiar blue tin. Not just days fresh, but roaster fresh.
And because you folks on the West Coast really know and enjoy coffee at its best, Maxwell House is blended and roasted for you right here on the West Coast to satisfy your critical taste.
America's favorite brand of coffee, Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Gracie, I had a talk with Dr. Miller, the psychiatrist. He says the blow on the head might turn Jack Benny into generous Jack the Plunger.
Oh, wonderful.
But he says we'll have to create the same situation we were in 16 years ago.
Oh, but George, he was proposing to me when you hit him. He can't do that now. I'm married to you.
Well, you'll have to pretend that we've split up and that you're single again. You get Jack to give you a date.
Well, maybe he won't do it. I'm not as young and pretty as I used to be.
Oh, Grace.
Huh? Hmm?
Gracie, you haven't changed since the day I married you. You're young, lovely, sweet, desirous.
Oh, thank you, George. You haven't changed either.
I haven't?
No, you felt the same way about me then.
Yeah, well, run along and see Jack.
Yes? Oh, hello, Gracie.
Hello, Jack.
I suppose you came over to apologize for George's behavior at lunch yesterday.
Well, no. Why should I care what my ex-husband does?
Ex-husband?
Oh, didn't you know? It was in all the columns.
Well, I haven't been getting the paper lately. The Colemans have it brought right into their house now. So you and George have called it off, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm single again. I'd even have a date if a very attractive man asked me.
I'd love to ask you, of course. I'm not as attractive as I used to be. Huh?
Yes, you are, Jack.
Oh, go on. I'm much older than I was then.
Oh, no, you're not. You're still 39. How come you've never married Jack?
Oh, I guess I've been waiting for you, Gracie. Is there still a chance for me?
Well, maybe. You used to say that the girl you married would have everything. Mink coat, Cadillac, diamonds, and all the money she could spend. Do you still feel that way?
Certainly. That's why I want to marry you. You've got all those things. Gee, Gracie, we were meant for each other. Now, how about it?
Oh, I don't know, Jack. You have to court me first.
Again?
Uh-huh. Call on me tonight and bring the orchid.
But I did all that.
That was 16 years ago.
Well, didn't you save them? No, they keep forever in the icebox.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do have a lot of the things you gave me. I keep them pressed between the pages of the book. You brought me such nice flowers.
I used to bring you candy, too.
Yeah, I wish I could get that book open.
Well, I'll see you tonight, Gracie.
Yeah, well, it's a date, Jack. And be sure and bring your violin.
Okay. Can we have an evening with Beethoven?
No, come by yourself. Oh, it worked, George. Jack Benny will come courting me tonight. just like you did 16 years ago.
That's great.
Now, we want to duplicate that night exactly, so you arrive after Jack has been here for a while.
Just a minute. I like the idea of leaving you alone with that old gray wolf. Might try to kiss you.
Oh, George, relax. He's bringing his violin.
So what?
So by the time he carries out over, he'll be all tired.
Okay, I'll go down to the drugstore. See you later.
Oh, well, kiss me goodbye.
Okay.
George, have you been carrying violin?
No, just the rosin. I'll see you. Well, here I am, Gracie.
Oh, Jack, how nice to see you.
Gee, this is just like old times. Do you still like flowers?
Love them.
Well, here you are, baby. Here's enough flowers to fill this room.
Oh, how nice, a package of seeds.
I mean, after all, it's spring. You know, half the fun of flowers is watching them grow and seeing them raise their tiny green heads. Which reminds me, George won't be around tonight.
Yes, Jack, he might drop by later.
Well, I better get down on my knees and propose to you right now before he gets here. Darn it, I'm too late. I heard a door open.
That was your knee. Come in.
Hello, Gracie. Oh, Jack Benny. What are you doing down on your knees? Never mind, just help me up.
Jack was about to propose to me, George.
Well, Gracie, I want you to marry me. You married her once. Give somebody else a chance.
Well, George, if you're proposing, get down on your knees like Jack.
Okay.
Oh, isn't this thrilling? Two fiery lovers bidding for my hand.
George. Does this cold floor bother your rheumatism? This murder. And I found some stuff that's awfully good.
Really?
What is it? I've tried everything. It's a new liniment. Works wonders. That's for me. My knees have been killing me. Isn't the rainy season just torture? Awful. I must get that liniment.
I'll let you try some of mine.
Will you?
Some fiery lovers. We'll have to honeymoon at the Mayo Clinic. Boy, you're proposing to me, remember? Oh, come in.
Hi, Gracie. Where's the... George and Jack Benny down on their knees? What goes on here?
Well, can't you guess, Phil?
Somebody dropped a penny, huh? Guess again, comedian. Phil, we happen to be proposing marriage. Well, I hope you'll be very happy together. Would you like to drop back in about 2 weeks?
Oh, not me. I want to stick around and see who asks who what and what the answer is.
Bill, look, Dimples, we're proposing marriage to Gracie. You see, George and Gracie aren't married anymore.
Gracie, is this true?
Well, yes, Bill. I'm single now, but George wants me to marry him again, and so does Jack Benny. I can't decide between them.
Can't decide between them. Gracie, this is your chance to marry one of the biggest stars in the country, a man with a great future in television.
Yes, I was good, you know.
Not only a great talent, but loaded with personality, charm, good looks.
Blue eyes, don't be a fellow.
Gracie, you lucky girl. This is your chance to marry me.
You? Scrambling, you're lousing up everything. Pay no attention to him, Gracie. I'm asking you to be the mother of my children.
How many do you got?
None yet, but in a couple of years or so, I'm sure we'll hear the patter of little feet.
Well, marry me, Gracie, and we'll hear the patter of little feet tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Sure, you'll be running back and forth to the kitchen bringing me Maxwell House coffee. Think how happy we'll be, Gracie, with rich, delicious, mellow Maxwell House coffee from morning till night.
Well, if you're going to get commercial about this, you can marry me and feel her level best.
Maxwell House coffee too, huh? Isn't it great, Jack? You know, Maxwell House is a blend of choice Latin American coffees, radiant roasted to the peak of flavor perfection.
Bill, I meant that if Gracie married me, we'd have plenty of lucky.
Lucky?
Yes. What do I work for?
Darned if I know. You got all the money in the world. See, Liz, you can buy Maxwell House by the carload. And Maxwell House is America's favorite coffee. Always good to the last drop. How about it, Gracie? Will you marry me?
Well, I'm sorry, Bill, but it's between George and Jack. But don't feel bad. Whichever one I choose, you'll be the best man at the wedding.
Well, obviously. So long.
How about it, Gracie? How about it? Will you marry me?
No, she's going to marry me.
But, Gracie, George has no future. I mean, radio's passé. I'll be a sensation in that new business, television.
Well, so will George. In fact, I've heard lots of people say that television would collapse without him.
They said it would collapse without George?
That's right. They said that George single-handed is holding up television.
I wonder how they meant that.
Look, I know how to settle this, Gracie. I'll serenade. George, hand me my Stradivarius.
This violin is a Stradivarius?
Certainly. I got it from Sam Stradivarius, the pawnbroker.
Oh, Sam.
Now, let me have it.
Well, you heard him, George. Let him have it.
I'll be glad to.
Ooh.
Well, it happened just like it did 16 years ago.
Better. This time I hit him before he played.
Ooh. What happened? Where am I?
Well, you're at my house.
Who are you?
Well, I'm your girl, Gracie Allen. You brought me these seeds, remember?
I brought you a package of seeds?
What a cheap thing to do. I'll call the florist and have him bring you $100 worth of orchids.
Gosh.
And a potted plant for your father here.
George Burns.
Oh. Well, let's all go to Ciro's and have a champagne dinner on me. Mum's extra dry.
Hasn't that poor old lady had a drink yet?
Gee, what's happened to me? I'm spending money like crazy and I can't stop.
That's right. You're Generous Jack again.
Again? You mean I've been this way before?
Well, sure. You used to be Generous Jack the Plunger. Then George hit you over the head with your violin and you stopped spending money.
Getting hit over the head with my violin made me stop spending money?
That's right.
Jack, put down that violin.
Hey.
Jack, stop hitting yourself over the head.
Jack! Jack!
Good thing.
Easy way.
You like good things the easy way? Then get instant Maxwell House coffee.
So good.
So good. True coffee flavor and fragrance, because instant Maxwell House is not a so-called coffee product. It's all pure Maxwell House coffee in instant form.
And so easy.
So easy. Instant Maxwell House means great coffee instantly in your cup. No fuss, no muss, no bother. Today, try instant Maxwell House. Instantly good to the last drop. Until next Thursday, when we will have as our guest Robert Montgomery. Good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week, we choose shows that we know you will enjoy, and we appreciate your listening. Please join us again next week when we bring you more wonderful programming from radio's golden age. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.